I want to turn back to that portion that we read together in Song of Solomon, chapter 8. The Song of Solomon, and chapter 8, and verse 5, it says, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? We really had the title here, Leaning on Christ, leaning on Christ. So let's look to the Lord and let's pray that He'll bless us around His word. And child of God, you pray that God will speak to you this morning and there'll be a word that will help you. Father in heaven, I pray that I'll be with us around the word of God. I pray that you'll speak to us, you'll strengthen our faith. Your Lord, you'll speak to hearts here today who need thee. And indeed, you'll bless the word to all of us. We thank you that none of us seen. I will pray that none of us seen but Jesus only, Lord, in this meeting. And He will be exalted here in the preaching of Thy Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, we have certain Greeks who came to Philip. And they said to Philip in verse 21, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And this was the burning desire that they had in their heart. They didn't say, "We want to see Peter. We want to see Andrew or any other of the disciples." They didn't say, "We want to see some of the great sights of Jerusalem." They never said, "We want to see some of these mighty miracles that we hear has been done." But here's what they said, that we would see Jesus. They wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the burning desire they had in their heart. Well, this should be my heart, every heart of every child of God in this meeting. Every time we come to church, we come, spiritually speaking, to see Christ, to meet with Him. Every time you go into the closet and you open up the Bible and you do your Bible readings, the desire of your heart is that I want to see Christ, I want to see Him. I want to meet with Him. Because it is in the Bible, it is in the reading of the Word of God and in the preaching of the Word that we find the Lord Jesus Christ. It's here where we find Him. We see His life. We see His power. We see His mercy, His death. We see His resurrection. We see His glory. We see something of His great love for His people. Where do we find it all? We find it all in the Bible. And that's what we have in the Song of Solomon. It's a love story. The Shunammite woman falling in love with her beloved. Not only that, of course. Her beloved, which is Christ, has fallen in love with her. It's a mutual love story. They love each other. That's why you read in chapter 6 and verse 3, "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine." Now, you and I know here this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great beloved. Remember, the Father spoke from heaven, down from heaven. He says, "Well, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus Christ is the beloved here in this passage. We find, of course, the bride in John 3, verse 29. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." So there's a great love story here in this passage between the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. And every child of God in this meeting knows this morning. We have tasted, we have found the wonderful love of Christ to our souls. He has saved us. His love has reached us. Indeed, we can say in chapter 3 and the verse 2 of this particular book, I said in verse 3, "I found Him," verse 4, "whom my soul loveth." That's the testimony of every child of God in this meeting. "I found Him whom my soul loveth." I was in the world. I was in sin. I was far away from God. But here we can say, "I have found Him. I found Him whom my soul loveth." I want to ask you this morning in this meeting, can you say, "I found Him"? I found Christ, or Christ has found me. And now you love Him. So there's really a love here, a loveness, a loving together here in this passage. But there's a life together as well. Because we find here in this text, they are together. The beloved and the bride, they're together. And there's a life together. And that's a wonderful thing when you come to Jesus Christ. He gives you a new life. And there's a life together. It's me and my Lord. He's with us. He blesses us. He helps us. There's a new life when you come to Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you interested in this great life that's found in the Bible? There's no better life. There's no better love than loving Christ and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we find here in this particular passage. We can see it here in this verse. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Well, I want to say just three simple things here. You have the Christian's pathway in life. What is it? It's in the wilderness. It talks about the district. Here she is, and she's walking the pathway of life. Now, we are left in no doubt to what the place is like she's walking in. The Bible is very clear. It tells us very plainly here, she's in the wilderness. She's in the wilderness. Yes, she's loved. She's loved by Christ. But where do we find her? Listen, she's in the wilderness. This is the pathway she's walking. The wilderness. Now, the Bible tells us what sort of place the wilderness is like. Take, for instance, that the wilderness, it's a barren place. That is found in many passages in the Word of God. For instance, Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, listen, and found no water. Over in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, it tells us that they were crying out for hunger. Listen, they were in the wilderness. They were walking in the wilderness. This was God's redeemed people, and they were walking in the wilderness, and they found out here that it is a barren place. They're crying out from the very depths of their heart and the depths of their soul. There's no water. There's no food. We're going to perish. It's in the wilderness. And dear friends, that's what the wilderness is like. This world is a wilderness for us. There's emptiness and barrenness in it. There's no real satisfaction in this life, or this world for God's people. He has saved us out of the world. That's why Solomon could write in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And think of the things he had. He had riches. He had silver. He had gold. He had possessions. He had power. He had everything. He said the whole thing is empty. The world cannot satisfy the child of God. None but Christ. None but Christ. Give me Jesus. Now what you say here this morning, child of God? Give me Christ. You see, rather than the wilderness, it's a barren place. There's no satisfaction for the child of God. And this is where we are to walk, of course. The Lord saves us, and he leaves me in this world, this barren, barren place, a wilderness. It's a dangerous place as well, the wilderness. It's not easy in the wilderness. And when I come to the Bible, it tells me about certain things that's in the wilderness. For instance, in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 15, Moses is talking how God brought them through that great, listen, and terrible wilderness. And here's what he says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions. Just look what's in the wilderness. He said, there's serpents and there's scorpions. They were, of course, to be avoided at all costs. Here it was a very dangerous place to be in. These dangerous creatures were in it. In Mark 1, verse 13, it talks about the Lord Jesus in the wilderness with the wild beasts. And you can see here in the wilderness in the Bible, a very dangerous place to be in. This world's a dangerous place for a child of God. It's dangerous. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter 5 and the verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because Well, why is it I am the watch? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me in this world, listen, in this wilderness. And remember, we're walking in this wilderness. We're living in this world. It's dangerous. The devil's going about like a lion. And I want you to see this. It's not like a pussycat. It's like a lion. And he's out to destroy you. I want you to take out the heart, child of God, this morning in this meeting. The devil's out to devour you. He's out to destroy your testimony. He's out to destroy your family. He's out to destroy your life. He's going about. He's creeping about. I can't see him. Some people laugh. I came across some Christians this week. I read of him as well. They don't believe in the devil. Oh, no, no, no. Don't believe in him. But the Bible says he's like a lion. And you and I's living in this world. If I said to you, watch, going out of this church, there's a lion running around on a lawn. You would be looking behind every car. You'd be looking, is he about to run into the motor car? But listen, the devil's going about. Every time you rise and go out, he's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. This world is a dangerous place for all of us. And then you have the temptation to sin. If an old nature would want to fail God and sin against God. Remember, Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Just watch and pray, he says. Just watch and pray. You don't enter. You don't fall into temptation. The world hates us. In Luke 21, verse 17, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And so the world is a very dangerous place. We're not liked. And the Lord has saved us. And here we are this morning, child of God, and we're living, we're walking in this world, spiritually speaking, it's a very dangerous place. That's why the Bible says, to the children of God, love not the world, none of the things that are off the world, out to destroy us. It's a dangerous place. It's a place of death as well. In Luke 14, verse 32, Moses was telling the children of Israel about those who had sinned against God. But as for you, your carcasses, listen, they shall fall in this wilderness. There's going to be death in this wilderness. You're going to fall. That's a place of death. And I look around me today in this world is not full of life, not a bit of it. This world, it's full of death. We are dying, every one of us in this meeting. We're dying. We're heading to the grave. Why is this? Because we're living in the wilderness. We're living it. I met a woman one time in Stranraer, and she said to me, she couldn't understand why there's death. Couldn't understand it. Why there's death in this world. Well, of course, I could tell her what had happened, how sin came into the world, and all had sinned against God, and death had been placed upon all of us. But she couldn't understand it. So I told her. Maybe she still doesn't understand it. I don't know. But I told her why. Child of God, we're living in the wilderness. And carcasses are falling in the wilderness. There's death, and one day I will die. It's one day you will die. This world is full of death. And you're nice walking in the midst of it all. It's also a restless place. Also, the wilderness. Psalm 107, verse 4. It says, "By children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness." No rest. And the world is like a wilderness for the children of God. There's no rest in this world. We can't find rest or peace in this world. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10, it says, "In the waste, howling wilderness." The word howling here is noise. There's no peace. This world is noisy. It's a terrible place. There's no rest in this world. There's only rest in Jesus Christ. And you and I have to pick our steps through this world, this restless, loud music. No matter where you go now, and I'm not a fan of shopping, but every time you go to shopping, they're blowing out with this old music. There's shouting, there's cursing. Maybe you're working among such people and the language is terrible. It grieves your heart what you're hearing with your ears. You see, you're in the wilderness. And we're walking through the wilderness. That's the description here of the place we're walking in the pathway. Here's where she is. She's in the wilderness, and I'm in the wilderness. And child of God, so are you, you and I, pick of the word. Think also of the not only the description of the pathway, think of departure. If you notice here carefully, she's been brought out of it, up from the wilderness. And these are a great words. She may be living in the wilderness, but she's coming out of it. She's coming up from the wilderness. Listen, every step she's taken, every step she's taken, she's getting out. She's coming out of it. Every day she's getting out of the wilderness. Every step. That's a great truth, you know, for every child of God. The Lord Jesus said, if you're of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Listen, we're coming out of the world. We're coming out. She's coming up from the wilderness. The beloved is bringing her out of it. And child of God, every step we take in this world, we're coming out. We're out farther this time, this week, we were a week ago. We are coming out of this world. Don't be putting your stakes down too much in the world. We're coming out. We're coming out of this wilderness. And notice, he's bringing her up. Bringing her up. And child of God, where are we going? We're going up. We're going up to heaven. We're going to be with Christ, which is far better. You know, every step she was taking, it was a step nearer home. And that is true with every child of God who's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ here this morning. Every step we've taken, every step you take, remember, you're going out. You're going out of this wilderness of the world. We're going home. We're going home. And we're going to be with Christ, which is far better. And so we have here the Christian's pathway in the wilderness. And then we have the Christian's partner. Because we find here in our text, she's making this journey, but she's not alone. We see very clearly that someone is with her. Her beloved. And I find here this partner, he's a present partner. Because he's with her. You can see it here in our text. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? He is with her. He is near by her side. She is not alone. Listen, he's present at all times. In the darkness, he's by her side. In her time of fears and dangers, in her time of tears, he's with her. He's with her. This was her partner here. As she's walking through this wilderness, her beloved is with her. And the great truth to every child of God here this morning is this. You're not alone. And I want to say that again to every child of God this morning. Walking in the wilderness, maybe you're feeling the heat of the day. The pain of trials and circumstances in your life. I want to say to you today, you're not alone. You're not alone. Look at the text this morning. Someone is with you. Who is that one? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's with you. He's your beloved. He's with you. Every step you take, he takes a step. He's guiding. He's helping you. He's with his people. Remember in Hebrews 13 verse 5, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Notice, he says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I'm with you. I'm with you every step of the way. He's with his people. Think of the Old Testament. And Joshua. When Joshua got the Moses' mantle, in a sense, placed upon him. And what a responsibility was given to Joshua. And yet the Lord came to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 9. And he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Here's why. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. What tremendous words these were to young Joshua. This great responsibility was given unto him to bring the children of Israel into the promised land, to overcome the enemies. God said, listen here, I'm with you. Where you go, wheresoever you go, remember this. He says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. The great C.H. Spurgeon said, when the howling tempest drowns his voice and the darkness of the night hides his person, still he is there. And that's a great truth, you know. Because there's times in your life you'll come, there's a howling tempest, and you can't hear his voice. And there's times in the pathway you'll be in darkness, and you have no light. But remember this, friends. He's still there. He's with her. And he's with you here this morning as you walk on the pathway from the wilderness. There we have it in the text. She's in the wilderness. But she ain't alone. And child of God this morning, you're not alone. The Lord is with you. He's with his people, all of them. He's with all his people. He's a present partner. He's a passionate partner. Because notice the title, Her Beloved. Her Beloved. This is the one she loves. Listen, he's the love of her life. That's why a number of times in this book we find this title was given. Her Beloved. She loves him and he loves her. And she's traveling with the one that she loves in the wilderness. He loves her. He's walking with her. And friends, he's by her side. And there's no one loved her like Christ. And that same lesson, that same simple truth that's given here in this passage, it's true to all of us. There's no one loves us like Christ. He loves his people with a great love. He laid down his life upon the cross. He shed his blood to save us. He loves his people with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He loves his people greatly. Listen, he loves them eternally. We sing that great hymn, don't we? Oh, love that will not let me go. He should let me go. And child of God, you can say it in your heart this morning. He should let me go, but he will not let us go. He loves us. And remember, child of God, when you walk in this pathway of life, there's one walking beside you and he loves you. He loves you with great love. Eternal love. I would say too, also, when he's walking with her, he was a patient partner. He overlooks her faults. And she had plenty of them. Plenty. Her failures, he overlooked them. Her fears. He was patient. She had many of these faults and fears. Yet I want you to see here, he stayed by her side. She's in the wilderness. Of course she had failed. Of course our time, our hearts were full of fears. But he's there. He's walking with her. He's overlooking all these failures. He's a very patient partner. You see, he's her beloved. Christ is her beloved. And child of God, the one by your side is patient and kind with you. He stays through us through thick and thin, through doubts and fears, through our failures and through our sins. He should have left us long ago. There's a thousand reasons why the Lord Jesus could lose his patience with me and with you. But he's still there this morning. He's still by your side. And I say, you have your faults, of course. Maybe you've had great failures. But he's still there. He's your beloved. He never leaves you. Maybe there's some of God's people this morning, and you went into the world, and you're far away from your first love. Like the people in the church at Ephesus. He says, well, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. That has left thy first love. But he hasn't left you. He's still with you. You see, he's a very patient partner. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he remembereth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. That's all we are. But I want to say to you here this morning, in life, remember, somebody walks with you. Now, sometimes you can't hear his voice. I will grant that to every one of us, including myself this morning. There's sometimes you're looking for his footprints beside you. You can't see him. You can't see the footprints. But I want to say to you today, by faith, we know he's there. He's with us. Here is this woman. She's in the wilderness. But there's somebody walking beside her. It's her beloved. And child of God, we're all in the wilderness. Maybe you're in a rougher place in the wilderness this morning than I am. But the Lord's with you. He's with us, people. He is this partner who is with all us people. I said to those who's not saved this morning, you need one who can save you and be your friend and take you through the wilderness of this world and take you to heaven and take away your sins and give you life, eternal life in Jesus Christ. For God's people in life, we have one who is our partner. He's with us. Can I say a last thing quickly about the Christian's posture here? Look what it says. She's coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. And notice here the word leaning means recline or lean upon. She is leaning upon her beloved. Here she is walking in the wilderness. And we take a look at the two of them in the wilderness. You see, here's a great love picture. She's leaning. She's close. She's leaning upon her beloved. This is the posture here that is demonstrated in this passage. She's leaning upon her beloved. And I can say here, when she's leaning upon her beloved, we see her strength. This is where she gets her support from. He is bearing her weight. She can't make it alone, you see. She's struggling. She needs someone to help her. She needs someone to hold her. And so she leans upon her beloved. He is her strength. He is bearing her weight. She leans upon him. She's leaning upon her beloved, friends. And that's the same with every child of God. We need someone to lean upon in this world. We need someone who can support us, someone who can strengthen us for the journey. I'm glad we have Christ. You can lean upon your beloved. We'll get words in Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And so we have people here that are full of fear, or well, they fear of the Lord, and they walk in darkness and have no light. What are they to do? Let them trust in the name of the Lord. Listen, and stay upon his God. The word stay means to lean upon. And the prophet here is telling us very plainly, we are to lean. We are to lean upon the Lord. Lean all your cares upon him. Lean upon him fully. There's no other way to travel on this pathway of life other than to lean on Jesus. You'll never make it. You'll fall and fail and get hurt. You need somebody to support you. You've got to lean on Jesus. You'll get your strength by leaning on him. That's what she's doing. Think of that hymn that we'll probably sing at the end of the meeting if we have time. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. And so she's leaning on her beloved, so we find her strength. We find her rest as well. She's leaning upon her beloved. This is where she gets rest. This is the place where she finds the really loving arms of her beloved all around her. She finds rest here in this position. She needs rest. She's struggling. So she leans upon her beloved. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Any child of God in the meeting this morning, you need rest. You need to lean upon Christ. You'll find it there. Lean by faith upon your beloved. So he was our rest. He was our guide as well. You notice here in our text, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? He's leading her out of the wilderness. He knew the way to take her out, you see. He was leading her out of the wilderness. And Psalm 48 and the verse 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even on to death." And I need somebody to guide me through the wilderness, to lean upon, to take me the right way. Well, we have Jesus Christ. He will lead me out. He will bring us out. Think of that song, "Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on. Take my hand, Lord." And child of God, by this morning, say to your beloved, "Lord, take my hand. I'm in the wilderness. I'm hurting. I'm full of fears. I'm full of doubts. Take my hand, Lord. Lead me." You see, he leads his people. You see her confidence here also in her beloved, because she leaned all upon him. She was confident that he could bear her up. She could put all her sin upon him. All her fears could be placed upon her beloved. All her cares, all her needs. She was not half leaning upon him. No, friends, she was wholly leaning upon him. She was leaning wholly upon her beloved. And remember here, every child of God, that Christ, he's a mighty God. And I'm confident I can leave everything upon him. All my fears, all my troubles, all my tears, all my sins. I can put everything upon him. Because he's mighty. And 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Listen, all your care, the whole lot. Not just some of it. Not just half of it, but the whole lot. And child of God, we need to cast the whole lot onto Christ. He's able. He's mighty. I can lean upon him. I can trust him. And child of God, you can trust him in your life as we walk through this wilderness of the world. The hymn says, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms." We have confidence. We can lean upon Christ. He's able to bear us all up. Of course, he has peace. She had peace leaning upon her beloved. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind," listen, "is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." You'll only have peace when you put your mind on Jesus Christ and my beloved. And trust him and say, "Lord, you're leading me, you're helping me, you're guiding me. Lord, I lean all upon thee." You'll get peace. You think about our joy. You know, it's a real picture of joy, this, isn't it? The two of them in love. The two of them together. What joy filled her heart. You know, friends, she was in the wilderness, wasn't it? There's the happiest place in the world for her. But she was with Christ. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. We're in the world, but to know is a wonderful thing, to have Christ to help us, to lean upon as we make the journey home. There's no other way to travel to heaven. You maybe you're struggling. You're struggling with things in your life at the moment, child of God, and you're struggling greatly. Well, I want to say to you, don't be struggling yourself. Lean upon your beloved. Lean upon Jesus Christ. I remember in my early days as a Christian, maybe before I actually got saved, I can't just recall, but round about, I came across that lovely song, "I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I have ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus." And that's how we are to do it. We've got to lean upon our beloved. So who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness? What's she doing? She's leaning upon her beloved. And child of God, lean upon him. He'll hold you. He'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll be with you. He'll bring you home. Because as I said earlier on, he's bringing us up out of the wilderness. We're going home. Can I say a word to all saved this morning? You're not saved. You need this friend in Jesus Christ. You need to turn from your sin, repent, and believe the gospel. And he will save you, and he will take away your sin and give you everlasting life. Don't be thinking that you're unworthy. I met a man during the week, and I was talking to him about being saved. He looked at me, and he said to me, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I know they looked at him, and I said back to him, there's none of us worthy, for I'm not worthy. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he can save you. And he can do that for you. And he'll be your friend. And he'll lead you out of this world and leave you to heaven. If you're not saved, you're heading towards a lost eternity in hell this morning. And that's sad. You may have pleasure in sin for a season, but it'll soon end. Then there's everlasting punishment. Do turn with all your heart to Christ. If I can help you this morning, some elders here in the church, turn to Jesus Christ. We'd love to talk to you. But I say to God's people in closing, learn to lean on Jesus. Learn to lean on your beloved.